Members can find the Monkfish documents behind tab 10 or on the CD. I will start with the status report document. The Monkfish Oversight Committee and AP met jointly. That was on December 6th in Providence. And since that time, the AP has met again on January 9th in Warwick. The Monkfish Committee is scheduled to meet in the first week of February, and will be working on the Days at Sea alternatives in Amendment 6. Going to the meeting report, the committee meeting report, there were two decisions or discussions that I wanted to highlight for the council and one action item for the full council. The first action that the committee took was to formalize the draft range of alternatives for the Amendment 6 document. As council members will remember, Amendment 6 is working primarily on three sort of suites of alternatives, days at sea, changes, sector management, and ITQs. The council and committee have moved forward to develop all of those options as alternatives in Amendment 6. There had, to this point, been no explicit draft document for Amendment 6, and the committee, through its motion, decided to formalize the staff work, the staff draft text, as Amendment 6 for the purposes of moving forward. So we will be adding to that, revising that, and eliminating options as we move forward through the public meeting and formal motion process. So I think that was an important step in the Amendment 6 development that I wanted to call everyone's attention to. The second is an action item that we have to take up here today as a council. It is a letter to the regional office, and I'll actually bring it as a committee motion. But to describe this, this came out of a desire on behalf of the committee to request that NIMS evaluate its capacity to provide information that will be essential to make some of these decisions going forward. So the committee felt that we should check in with the agency with regards to their capacity to provide us the information that many committee members feel is crucial to informing our decisions and allowing permit holders to understand the impacts of some of these decisions in Amendment 6 as well. So I will move on behalf of the committee. I guess we have to change the beginning simply to for the council to send a letter to the regional administrator. Regarding NERO's ability to provide in a timely manner the data necessary for the purpose of developing a sector management or ITQ program for Monkfish. This ultimately passed with some wordsmithing, 701, and a draft text for that letter is actually included behind tab 10 as well.
Committee motion, no second required, discussion. See, David Pierce, then Dave Preble.
I have a suggested change to the letter itself, Mr. Chairman. I support the motion sending the letter. However, I would like to offer up some suggested text, some additional wording that I believe Karen has. So this is the letter number two under Monkfish, and the suggested text, the additional text, would come after the, let's see, I think it's the seventh line after Amendment 6. I would insert after that. In addition, we also need to know your agency's ability and time required to notify permit holders of their specific monkfish allocations or PSC shares by management area for each of the sector or ITQ-like options. In other words, there is going to be a need for this information to be made available to the permit holders well before we get to the public hearings on whatever we do eventually offer up for consideration in this amendment. So this gets beyond the text in the letter now that focuses on information coming to the committee for committee review and use and the development of options. It takes it a step farther, which is, what about getting this information to the industry so they'll know where they stand and they'll be better able to comment on what's offered up by the committee during discussions and then, of course, at the public hearings.
Is there a second to that motion? Dave Preble. Okay, Dave, I had you on the list. Did you have discussion, a comment?
I would prefer to wait for other discussion. I will have a couple things to say about so the discussion coming.
Terry Stockwell.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I would support both the motion and the motion to amend, but I recollect that there was a previous committee motion a couple of years ago that the agency rejected very similar to this. So I guess I would turn to the agency and ask for their response before we spend too much time on this.
I think my question would be similar to Dave Gaethel's on the email request. Will we be compensated for this request for information? I wasn't there, but I think we informed you that we couldn't deliver a lot of vessel-by-vessel information, but I'm gonna turn to Mike in terms of what we can provide and what we are going to have trouble providing.
Thank you. As we discussed at the committee meeting and for the benefit of the full council, if you recall, I guess it was a year and a half ago or a little over a year ago when the original letter went from the council to the agency requesting this type of data, and our response is we didn't have the resources to provide vessel-by-vessel data at the level that was being requested at the time. And at the committee meeting, I reported that nothing's changed as far as our resources, availability of resources. In fact, things have gotten significantly worse in the division that conducts these types of data requests and provides this type of data. So in regards, direct response, nothing's changed. Things have gotten worse as far as our resources that would be available to fulfill this request. We are obviously able and willing to provide summary-level data, as we typically do, in support of PDT work and committee work, to conduct the analyses necessary to understand the effects of potential management measures that have been proposed or under discussion. But the vessel-by-vessel information that's currently under discussion is what we have some significant hurdles and resource constraints that would prevent us from providing this.
If I might just follow up on your comments, my assumption would be that the council can craft this letter and send it to you, but you're essentially going to respond to it in line with your capability to develop that information. Okay. I've got Tom Dempsey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't disagree with the intent, and I do remember the agency's previous answer, which is we can't provide to everyone their individual vessel information. I think I actually made that motion in my first council meeting here and was quickly slapped down by the previous regional administrator. But I do support the intent, and I think while the answer to the question, can you provide this to every individual permit holder at the same time, will probably still be a resounding no. Perhaps we could clarify the intent of the amendment to say, what's your ability and what's your response time in providing or fulfilling requests from permit holders for this information. I know already a number of monkfish permit holders have sought and received this information for the permits that they hold. I think that's still a process that's working. Those requests have been fulfilled. One of the issues that we're dealing with the monkfish amendment, and one of the challenges that's been addressed several times or highlighted several times with the AP, is the number of latent permits. We have literally hundreds of permits that aren't being fished. Most of those people are not going to be pursuing necessarily this information. Others, of course, would. So maybe if we could both clarify this to only be what's your ability to respond and fulfill requests from individuals currently, and some notification for all permit holders that if they are going to engage in this process and want this information, that this is how they do that. And I think NIMS has been communicating that in the recent months anyhow. But with that clarification, I think that is a different question, and hopefully one that the service can respond to in the affirmative.
David Pierce and then Dave Preble. And I'm going to try and move this along because I'm not sure where extensive debate takes us.
Indeed, this has been covered before. We did get an answer from the service that they couldn't do it for the very good reasons I already stated. And, of course, now, as indicated by Mike, it's worse off now than it was before. The motion is consistent with the point made by Tom. We need to revisit this issue. We need not to spin our wheels on this issue, because if the permit holders can't get this information, then we will repeat the problems we have with groundfish. And I don't want to go there. We've got time. The service certainly has time to reflect on this and determine whether or not they eventually will be able to provide the information, because, after all, this is an amendment. We have a draft document. The committee has a lot of work to do, so it's time to get this off again to the regional office for further reflection. Otherwise, it'll be very difficult to support much, for me personally, very difficult, if not impossible, to support many of the provisions of Amendment Number 6 that relate to specific allocations, ITQs, for example. I don't want to repeat groundfish mistakes.
Dave Preble.
Yeah, thank you. I'll be very brief. I didn't take the opportunity before to comment because I wanted to see what the agency's capability was. And since we now see that, then I just want to endorse both what Tom and what Dr. Pierce said, that's the crux of the problem. The permit holders need to be able to get this information before we can move forward, because it's a profound change we're making that's apparently going to be different between the north and the south units, and they really have to have access to the information before they can make an intelligent choice.
Okay, I'm going to take two comments from the audience. I saw Jeff's hand and Ron's hand.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I know you're in a rush on this one, but and I do recall the last discussion you had, but my question is, if industry petitioned for an ITQ program, would this be information that the agency would be required to develop for the ITQ program? And if it was done, would the cost be paid through the cost recovery requirements of the Magnuson Act that limit cost to equal to or less than 3% of X vessel value? I mean, in other words, if we put together a petition for an ITQ, would the agency then necessarily have to respond to the petitioners with this information, and would we be assumed to have to pay the cost to have you develop it from the 3% cost recovery? Or is that just too complicated for the moment? I mean, that's the question that occurs to us in this discussion.
Mike.
Thank you.
The second part of your question is easier to respond to. We have generally held that development costs, developing an IFQ program or catch-up program, is not something that is then part of the cost recovery program. It's operational costs only once we implement. So hopefully that addresses the second part of your question. As to the first part of the question, it's not clear. I think if we received a petition to develop an IFQ program, we would work with the council to see if that was going to be done. I'm not clear. Are you saying that part of that petition would be a global request for data? I mean, as As we heard, currently the industry is free and encouraged to individual members to request their individual histories associated with their permits, and that is handled through our data shop on a case-by-case basis. But what we're discussing here would be a single response for all permits in the fishery, and I think that's where we run into resource problems.
Yeah, it's two different things, and I suppose I'm not saying that people are ready to petition for an IFQ program, but I assume when you go into that posture, you probably want to know on an individual basis how much you've got coming towards you, and maybe the best advice to fishermen down our way is just make sure you're asking for your own particular catch history right now, and then take a look at that. So, all right, thanks, Mike. I appreciate that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Ron Smolowitz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ron Smolowitz, Fisheries Survival Fund. If this motion passes, we have concerns. Scallop industry has concerns with the letter. It's asking for data from the year 2000. Now, when we do stock assessments or look at science, we look at our entire time series to inform the process. I think it's very important if you're going to start looking at allocation issues, you need to look at the entire time series to inform the process. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to choose the entire time series to develop your management measures or your history, but you need to understand the history of this fishery. So I strongly urge that the data just don't start at the year 2000, like nothing was ahead of that period. You need to go back to 1980s and 1990s to the start of this fishery and understand the importance of this fishery to the scallop fishery. And it's a little scary because everybody's talking in terms of landings. You know, we're talking catch histories. The scallop fishery catches a lot of monkfish. So we just urge you at this early stage not to just start your process at the year 2000. Go back and understand the historical nature of this fishery and the importance of the catch to multiple stakeholders. Thank you.
Back to the council. Dave Gatham.
Well, I have two questions here. One is, if somehow the council was miraculously able to pass a sector program for monkfish tomorrow, you would have to provide that information on a vessel-by-vessel basis because they'd have to know their PSC. So, I guess that would be one question, is how long would that take? I mean, would you know, if the council passes an amendment, you know, is it not going to be able to be implemented for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, while this data gets sorted out, or... And that would be my first question.
Yeah, I understand the question, and I guess you know, that's something we'd have to talk to our statistics staff and where it falls in the priorities. It's something that would, if we had to do it, it would get done. It would probably fall right now below the macro limited access permit program, which they're currently engaged in. I think one of the complexities that the reactions from Hannah Goodale, who's the division chief for the division that would handle these requests or handles these requests, is that it's such an open-ended question at this point. For example, to Dr. Pierce's amendment to the wording would be require every possible permutation of every alternative on the table. We would provide a separate report for each permit holder that would address each of those possible permutations of each possible alternative. And it's just overwhelming the number of data runs that would have to be done in order to comply with that request. The issue with the original request, asking for each permit holder their catch history on directed trips, non-directed trips, northern area, southern area. Again, it's. I think it was just an issue of the resources available, and should those resources, significant resources that would be required to comply with that request, be dedicated to that task before we even know whether the council ultimately will adopt a measure or an alternative that would utilize that information. If the councils ultimately came in with a days at sea leasing program and did not support a catch share program, then that essentially would be wasted effort. Now, maybe the effort would have informed that decision. I don't dispute that. But it's really a balancing of available resources and priorities, which is the difficult question we're trying to answer.
Okay, and I think that's a fair response. So my suggestion to the maker and the seconder of the motion would be to reframe the motion to make a request as to how long it would take to get individual vessel histories based on a reasonable range of council alternatives. In other words, and we still need the answer to that question. If it's 2 or 3 years, then we ought to know that. And then my second comment would be, if it is going to be 2 or 3 years or 5 years or whatever, that we suspend work on the monkfish plan until we have the information. Because, you know, as an individual or as a council member, I don't want to repeat groundfish again either. I don't think people should have to comment on a plan and on alternatives when they have no idea what it means to their future. And you know, if we go down that road again, shame on us. So that would be my suggestion to the maker and the of the motion anyway, is to reframe the question so we can get the answer as to how long it's going to take, recognizing what Mike said, that we can't provide permutations for an unreasonable set of alternatives, that it has to be a definitive number. I don't know what that number might be, 3, 5, whatever would, you know, allow us to move forward. So,
Mark Alexander.
I don't think the service has to provide information for every single permutation that we may come up with. I think all that needs to be supplied to the permit holders is their annual landings by area and non-directed and non-directed trips. And then once they have that information in hand, they can use that to determine what permutations of time periods are favorable to them or not. So you're supplying each permit holder with one set of numbers from which they can gauge, you know, whether or not they like different alternatives. That gives them the information. That lessens the burden on the service, and I think it's simpler that way.
Tom Dempsey.
Just quickly, I couldn't agree more with what Mark just said, and I think we do need to work a little bit smarter as opposed to harder when it comes to this. And I think there's two parts, and we brought up one part earlier, which is what's your ability to give everybody that information unrequested, and what is your ability and timeliness with which you can answer individual permit holders' requests for their own information. And I agree with Mark. There's only one set of numbers that people need. And, you know, as it pertains to alternatives yet to be developed and allocation scenarios, we could create, or the service or whomever could create, an Excel file or a website that allowed you to plug in your numbers and see what the allocations were for the various alternatives. Everybody doesn't need an infinite range of iterations. I do agree with Mark that this is simpler than that. So I'll support this motion with the intent that we're asking both, what's your ability to give everybody that information simultaneously, unrequested, and at once? And what's your ability to fulfill specific permit holder requests for that information? But I agree, we need, you know, the service can do this in a much better way than just trying to brute force every iteration, every possible alternative that we could dream up.
John Bullard.
So the second part of your question, Tom, I mean, on a routine basis, we fulfill individual permit holder requests. So an individual permit holder request comes in saying, please give me my history since the year 2000. We give them that, right? It's a specific request. It says, please give me my history. We do that. We do that all.
Okay, I'm going to call the question on the motion to amend. All those in favor? Six. 16 in favor. Opposed? Abstention? 1. 16-01. We're on to the main motion as amended. Further discussion. Paul Howard.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I think that I was just recently on a
conference call with Washington where a project that George LaPointe is doing on allocation. And basically, the issue of Ron's issue of the 2,000 is really tying your hands. You're saying you only want data that is looking at recent history, but for Magnuson and for everything else, you really should decide. I think it's premature to have a date. You should have a discussion about having alternatives that look at very far back in history, middle history, and recent history to do this right. So that's my 2 cents.
Tom Dempsey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There was a discussion about the start date, and there are pros and cons to including it. But I think we all have to recognize where we're going to end up. If we go with an allocation based on catch history or days at sea usage, this amendment will probably be implemented, conservatively, sometime in the 2015 range. I mean, so this would have been this would have been 15 years in the past. I'm not aware of any catch history qualifying period that went 30 or 40 years in the past. I'm not aware of any precedent for that, and I'm not sure I could be convinced of, the strong value of reaching back to the 80s. Fisheries have changed quite a bit. The scallop fishery has, the monkfish fishery has. I think that was the derivation of the committee's desire to include a number, and I think there's some benefits to doing so.
Further discussion? Call the question. All those in favor of the amended motion so indicate. Sixteen in favor, opposed, abstention. 16-01, the motion carries. Tom, do you have any other business?
That's it.
Okay, thank you. Dr. Pierce.
Just one quick point regarding the amendment and where it stands right now. It is a very complex amendment, difficult to understand. I'm still struggling with it. I'm not on the Monkfish Committee, which I suppose is a good thing for my own health. On page 3 of the summary of the committee meeting, Monkfish Oversight Committee and Advisory Panel. On page 3, it says, after the motion was made regarding adopting the Amendment 6 draft range of alternatives, it says, the intent of this approach is to build an administrative record and formalize the development of alternatives. And here's the statement that caught my eye. Any changes to the draft document, therefore, would have to be done through committee motions. I guess I'm looking to see what the intent of the committee is. Will this council eventually receive an Amendment 6 document? It'll be provided to us. There'll be a summary of what's in it. And then will the chair ask for amendments to changes to the amendment through motions? In other words, here it is. Do you want to make any changes? If so, go ahead. But I just want to know what the approach is going to be, because that's very awkward. And if we do go in that direction, then every council member better digest this document as it evolves into its final form. So council members will have an opportunity to be, in a very timely and informed way, make some suggested changes to the amendment, which right now, again, is extremely complex.
Tom Dempsey.
Thank you, Dr. Pierce. And I think it gives us an opportunity to talk very briefly about how we intend to move forward and what the sort of origins of that approach were. I just want to be clear, our approach with Amendment 6 is going to closely mirror our approach with our other regulatory actions. Both the committee and council will work on this, and additions, revisions, things being moved to considered but rejected, that will all happen through both committee and council motions as we're comfortable with. The change was, and the reason it's highlighted is, prior to this point, while we'd been working on Amendment 6 for several years, we didn't actually have a formal Amendment 6 document, and there was some concern that things were getting added, eliminated, new ideas, new concepts were cropping up without formal committee motions, perhaps based on a committee comment or question from the AP. And we're trying to formalize this process a little bit more, make it run parallel to the process that we're all familiar with as we develop regulatory actions and amendments in all of our FMPs. So we intend moving forward to handle things in that way, in the way we're all familiar with. Additionally, and I'll just take a moment, it is a complex amendment. There are a number of moving parts. And with that in mind, rather than trying to dive in at the beginning of every committee meeting or AP meeting and just trying to, you know, pick up things at random and make revisions or have discussions, the committee has decided to start with days at sea, then move on to sectors, then move on to ITQs, so that we would all be able to put on our days at sea hats and talk about what options might work in the days at sea portion of the document, both the committee and the AP, and of course informed by the council. Then we'd move on to the next part of the document. We'd dive into sectors, sector options, and then on to ITQs and develop that portion of the document. So that's the approach that we plan to take, but I appreciate you raising the concern. This will be a similar process to, you know, how we've developed any of our other actions. So I don't hope you don't take away from the text that we're going to do something different. We're just trying to create a more formal process.
Good. Thank you. Unless there's something further on monkfish, we will move on to the public comment period. We will take comments from the public concerning issues that are not going to be addressed on any of the items for the rest of the agenda. Jim?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jim Kendall of the Bedford Seafood Consulting. I'd like to make a couple of brief statements on behalf of the Massachusetts Fishermen's Partnership and the Fishing Partnership Support Services, which used to be known as the Fishing Partnership Health Plan. As most of you are aware, the health plan has ended, and the health plan and the partnership is 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 and the